Welcome, dear friends. I pray that you and your loved ones are all doing well. Know that you are missed, and I'm grateful for you. Let's turn to God as we open with a word of prayer. Dearest Lord, this third week of Advent, you remind us that the good news of Jesus' birth has the power to bring us great joy, a joy not dependent on what is going on in our life and our world or the people that we're with. A joy not dependent on what we have or in the gifts we give or the gifts we find under the tree. But this week, you remind us that no earthly thing can ever give us complete joy. Our real joy comes from you. May that same joy that flooded the hearts of the shepherds, the angels, the wise men, the hosts of heaven, and Mary and Joseph flood our hearts as well. And may we pass it on that all might be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we relight the first two candles of the Advent wreath, the candle of hope and the candle of peace. And now we light the third candle of Advent. This is the candle of joy. As the coming of Jesus, our Savior, draws nearer, our joy builds with our anticipation of his birth.
From the book of Isaiah, we read the words of our Lord. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. From the New Testament, the words of Paul from Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us pray. We joyfully praise you, O Lord, for the fulfillment of your promise of a Savior and what that means in our lives. Thank you for the gift of salvation through the birth of your Son, Jesus. Create us anew as we wait, and help us to see your glory as you fill our lives with your living Spirit. Amen.
Now in flow. come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Jesus Christ to live. Don't suppress the spirit. Don't stifle those who have a word from the master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. You know, I'm an early riser, and I love seeing the morning sky slowly light up, the birds, the feeders, the world waking up. It's a beautiful, peaceful time to center in God and his word and to be grateful as I start each new day. And then life interrupts. Today, I sadly got word that a special friend and colleague from Princeton Seminary passed away after a rough battle with ALS, leaving behind her two young sons and loving husband. This on top of news that more Americans died from the coronavirus that day than on 9/11. And I'll be honest, the tears flowed. And then there's this passage. Be cheerful no matter what. Rejoice always? What? Seriously? I mean, is that even possible? Well, years ago, there was a man named Scott Walker. He was holding a flashlight in his hand as he watched the floodwaters of Hurricane Hugo rush through the basement of his family's home. Seconds before midnight, the door had collapsed under pressure of a tidal surge, and now 5 feet of swirling water was rampaging through their storage room. Using his flashlight, Scott counted basement steps as the water rapidly rose. And he realized that in just 4 more steps, it would be in the living room. And needless to say, he felt totally helpless. And then he saw this large cardboard box floating out the door. And without even thinking, he plunged into the water and he grabbed it. And then he struggled back up the steps. Amazingly, inside, he found the beautiful mahogany figures of the family's nativity scene, carved years ago in the Philippines, where his parents were missionaries. It was the center of his family's Christmas each year, a steady reminder of the true meaning of the season. And they almost lost it. As Scott began his preparations for Christmas that year, he realized that over the years, he had somehow drifted from the true meaning of Christmas. It hit him that in years of tradition and repetition, no matter how lovely, one can actually lose the true wonder and mystery and joy of the birth of Jesus Christ. On that Christmas, Scott wanted to see the nativity scene with new eyes and to hear the Christmas story with new ears. And in that moment of realization, Scott realized that a very deep tragedy had actually become a gift. This year, our world has simultaneously been ravaged by floods, fires, earthquakes, and a pandemic like none of us has ever known. We've experienced brutal chaos, division, and heartbreaking loss. And many who've never anticipated such hardships are now struggling just to keep food on the table and a roof over their heads. Not exactly something we want to think about during the season that's supposed to be the happiest time of the year. And the scripture tells us that we're called to be cheerful no matter what. and to thank God no matter what happens. When you're overwhelmed with pain and grief, that can sound crazy, utterly impossible. But could it be that God actually has a gift in it for us? Could it be that God is trying to free us and redirect our focus to that which is really important, that which is really the source of true joy and peace and hope? If we're honest, we have to admit that there can be a stark contrast between the sometimes over-the-top ways we tend to celebrate Christmas and the reality of Christ's birth. I mean, think about it. There was Mary and Joseph in a stinky stable with evil Herod on the throne, and things could not have been more bleak for them. It was truly a terrifying time. But it was when they looked into that manger and saw the Christ child that they found their true hope and peace and joy. To choose joy, understand this, to choose joy is not a denial of very real hardships. It's an overcoming. And the biggest gift for each of us this season may be coming to the knowledge and assurance that no matter what life throws at us, we can trust God and we can know a true joy that is not dependent on our circumstances, but upon a trusting relationship with God. And that relationship is built out of our continual prayers and gratitude and our ability to see blessings even in bleak times and to find joy even in the tiny things. One example in my own life that some of you are familiar with, it's been 26 years now, almost to the day. It's that time that I found the lump that I knew was breast cancer. Not exactly the gift you want for Christmas. And yet, this is just one of many experiences that have become unexpected gifts, offering me a closeness to God, an intimacy like none I'd ever experienced. And so often we can get so focused on what we think we want, what we think will make us happier, that we don't even realize what we already have. It's like the story of the man who called a real estate agent and wanted to sell his house. He said he was tired of his old house and he wanted a new one. The agent asked him to describe the house so they could put together a good ad. And the man began to tell the agent about this and that, and, you know, the new roof, the great yard, the fruit trees, the garden. And the agent wrote the ad and then called the man back to read it to him. And the man actually interrupted the agent halfway through the ad and he said, "Wait, all my life I've wanted a house like this. I didn't realize I already had it." Well, you know, if we really think about our own lives, we too may discover just how blessed and fortunate we already are. Even more important than what we have is the gift of who we can be. Years ago, journalist Skip Thurman told about his meeting this amazing Washington, D.C. cab driver named Percival Bryan. Bryan came to the U.S. back in 1924 as a stowaway on a banana boat from Jamaica. For decades after his arrival in Washington, Bryan drove people, both ordinary people and famous people, in his cab. And while driving them, Bryan had this quirky habit of asking each passenger to sign his guest book. After more than 50 years driving 8 cabs, carrying hundreds of thousands of passengers, Percival Bryan's autograph collection was actually put on display at the Smithsonian Institute. It contains the names of presidents, jazz greats, senators, scientists, and everyday people. In fact, mostly everyday people. the 312 books that make up this collection chronicle one man's journey through some of America's most volatile times. And in a story Thurman wrote about Brian, Thurman shares that Brian was remarkable for his friendliness and his poise. One night, in fact, his passengers, two young white men, robbed him. But before the ride was over, not only had they given back the money, they had both signed his book. "What keeps you going?" asked Thurman. "Well, my priorities," Brian said. "Friends, but most of all, God. Every morning I get down on my knees and I have my little prayers and I ask God to go with me, protect me, ride with me, take my eyesight, my nose, my mouth, especially my mouth, and share it with others. And I tell you, sometimes I feel very rich. Not much money in my pocket, but inside, I feel like I've done my best and God has given me the wisdom and the strength to keep going." Percival Bryan is with God now, but as King Duncan so well puts it, those autograph collections in the Smithsonian, they speak of a man who knew how to rejoice always and to pray continuously. God rode with him in his cab, and God was the major influence in how he conducted his life. His life was a continuous prayer, and as a result, joy was his constant companion. God was with him, always. As Kermit the Frog from Sesame Street once said, "Be thankful for the bad things in life, for they opened your eyes to the good things you weren't paying attention to before." In the season of Advent, may God open our eyes and our hearts, and may we too rejoice always, pray continuously, and give thanks in all circumstances. Let us pray. Lord, in a season when every heart should be happy and light, many of us are struggling with heaviness of life, burdens that steal our joy, when tragedy after another is causing innocent victims to suffer, and that inner voice keeps whispering, "Be afraid." We need your peace, Jesus. We confess that our hearts are too often filled with wonder of a different kind, wondering how and when the bills will be paid, when the pandemic and the floods and the fires and the chaos will stop, when rest will come. Will it ever? Is your message true? In a world where worry, not peace, has taken over, we pray that your good news would again prevail. This Advent, make it real in our hearts. Never have we craved your joy and peace more than we need it now. And we need not only your peace and joy, Lord, we crave it. You've promised rest for the weary, victory for the battle-scarred, peace for the anxious, acceptance for the brokenhearted. Not just an Advent, but every day of every year. Your name is still called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. But we know that peace on earth can only come when our hearts find peace with you. Let us be reminded that you are still our joy, Lord, that you are still our peace. You are no longer a babe in a manger. You are Lord of lords and King of kings. And we celebrate you as Lord this Christmas and always. May we never forget, and may we always be filled with that peace and joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, there is no question that this is a season like no other in our lives. And at times we make good choices, and at times we make bad choices. But know that we have a reason to be joyful. Know that in Christ we are loved and we are forgiven. Know that in Christ we will find a path that will lead us to true joy. May this be a time of discovery, and may you be blessed. And now may you go in the love, in the mercy, in the strength of God and our Savior. And may you be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.